call the Joint Conference Committee, House Senate Conference Committee to order for Senate File 1363, the Outdoor Heritage Bill. Welcome, everybody, to the committee meeting. We're not expecting to be here too long. We think we've got a good idea here, and how we're going to do it, members and folks, is we're going to have Mr. Mueller go through the spreadsheet. Now, I think we're a little short of spreadsheets. Are we still short?
Yes.
Okay, well, there's going to be some copies being made. If you can share, that would certainly help us out a lot. And we're going to have Mr. Mueller go through the spreadsheet. We're then going to adopt the spreadsheet, and after that, we're going to go through the side-by, one article at a time, do amendments, and do adoption at that time, one article at a time. So with that, members, any questions on the process? Seeing none, Mr. Mueller, would you please start?
Mr. Chairman, the way I'll proceed here is I'll go through the first three articles. Mr. Satterberg will go through the fourth article, Arts and Cultural Heritage. Spreadsheet's pretty straightforward. We're showing Senate, House, difference between House and Senate, then a conference agreement. Couple things before we get through all the articles. The numbers in total, we've left a 3% fund balance on the clean water article, the parks and trails article, and the arts and cultural heritage article. So then those were at the Senate level. And then the first article is at the same level as the recommendations from the Lasard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council. Article 1, I'm not going to go line by line.
Excuse me, Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, just for process information, you said that, Mr. Mueller, you said you were going through the spreadsheet and with the House and the Senate, and then with the conference agreement. Is this the proposed conference agreement?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Murphy, yes, is the proposed, the conference proposal.
Representative Murphy.
And Mr. Chair, could you enlighten me on how the proposal came about?
It's the chair's proposal,
Representative Murphy. That's correct. I'm sorry I wasn't clear.
Thank you. And is this the co-chair's proposal or just today's chair's proposal?
Representative Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Murphy, the co-chairs.
Okay. And so, Mr. Chair, is it your intent then to that there will be discussion, and will there be any public input?
Yes, there will be discussion at the end of the there's going to be discussion. Are you talking about the spreadsheet, Representative Murphy?
Whatever it is that will be contained in the chair's proposal that is being presented.
Yes, we're going
to
have discussion before
afternoon.
We adopt. We're going to have discussion, committee discussion before we adopt. That's correct.
And, Mr. Chair, is it your intent that we will adopt at this meeting?
I guess that would be the will of the committee.
Thank you. I will wait expectantly to hear the result of the chair's proposal, and I reserve the right to say something more at a later time.
Certainly, Representative Murphy. Mr. Mueller.
Mr. Chairman, page 1 and 2 is Article 1, the Outdoor Heritage Fund. The columns under conference list basically what the Senate had proposed. So it's the Senate numbers, which were originally the numbers from the recommendations from the Outdoor Heritage Council. The only change from the Senate position is on line 63. The Senate originally did not have a recommendation for the website, and the House had $13,000 there, so we're carrying it at $13,000. So that is the only change from the original Senate proposal. proposal on Article 1, dealing with the Outdoor Heritage Fund. Article 2, Clean Water. I'll kind of quickly run through the agencies here. Under Department of Ag, although the House and the Senate had same numbers coming into conference, there is a movement of a little bit of money between lines 91 and lines 93, $150,000 total. That came from some recommendations from the department. Public Facilities Authority, the House and Senate had the same numbers going in, $33.4 million. That's the conference proposal. PCA, I'll just note some change. On the Clean Water Partnership Grant, line 109 is taken the Senate level. As far as line 114, the reuse water pilot projects, the Senate originally had appropriated some money for this, and the House had carry forward authority to an old appropriation. We're taking the House approach on that. So there's still $1 million left over in a carry forward appropriation, and that's actually listed at the end of the article. Line 117, the drinking water protection subsurface treatment systems. This was a proposal that came in late from the governor that the House at the time didn't have any money in it, and the Senate had a little bit, and we were able to move a little bit more money up into that $1.57 page 4. Okay, the PCA total is $46.7 million. DNR, just one change there from we're taking basically the House position on the Department of Natural Resources.
Page 4.
Bottom of 4, Board of Water and Soil Resources. We're taking the House level of funding for Bowser. There's a couple of changes you see between the House and Senate on that one, and we're taking the House level of funding for Bowser. Page 5, Department of Health, the House and the Senate were both the same going in. Same for Met Council. And then on the Legislative Coordinating Commission, you see we're doing the $13,000 for the website. And then zero for the Clean Water Council costs, and then the House position for the Cowles Center for the Dance. See a total there, again, where we left a 3% fund balance of, so spending out of the Clean Water Fund is $179.4 million. Next, and then you'll see on the bottom of page 5, we're actually listed the various carry forwards that are carried in the bill and how much those would, these in effect would be money that would have otherwise canceled after fiscal year 11, but now we'll have extended time to do the appropriations. So on line 198, you'll see the carry forward for the previous or current bienniums reuse wastewater pilot projects. Page 6, you'll see the...
Excuse me, Representative Torkelson has a question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Mueller, those carry forwards are through 2014, is that correct? Didn't we change all of those last night?
Yes.
Okay. Really? Okay. Yeah. Mr. Chair and Reps Torque, so we'll check that, but I believe so. When the language comes through, we'll make sure that. Page 6, you'll see the recommendations for the Parks and Trails Fund. It's a way it's going to work is they're paying for the LaSalle Lake with a separate line item, which was the House position. And then the percents you see split is after the costs of LaSalle Lake, the restoration audits, and the website are sort of paid for first, and what's ever left over is split 38% state parks, 20% regional parks, and 42% metro council parks. And so the total there is pretty close to the same total that Senate had going in, $78.14 million. Again, a 3% fund balance. And then...
I'm sorry. Representative McFarland, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And on the competitive grants, is for the Greater Minnesota, is it for Greater Minnesota or for everybody or what?
Mr. Mueller, well, I think that question might be directed, exclusive. Is that correct? Mr. Knopf, I'll have him answer.
Mr. Chair, that will be in the language, but the language right now is exclusive.
The language right now is exclusive, but it hasn't been adopted. That's correct.
Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it over to Mr. Soderberg to go through Article 4.
Mr. Soderberg.
Mr. Chairman and members, Article 4 starts on page 6 at the darkened line there. Both the House and the Senate had direct appropriations to the Board of Arts, and you can see the dollar difference. I should mention that a large reason for the significant amount on the Senate is because the Senate had the library grants funded under the arts originally. The House had it under the Department of Education, and the Conference Committee agreement has it under the Department of Education at the Senate level. Turning to page 7 is the Historical Society. Again, both bodies had direct appropriations. The Historical Society, the only difference is... there's a reduction of $400,000 in the statewide history programs. The Department of Administration, members may recall that the House had a competitive grant program where the Senate was all direct appropriations to the respective organizations and programs, and the conference agreement is a hybrid of the two. The House originally had all public broadcasting at a competitive grants. The conference agreement is that Minnesota Public Television would be at a direct appropriation at $3.7 million each year, and there will be a competitive grants for public radio organizations, and that's at $2.6 million a year. The zoos will be directly appropriated. Previously, the House had the zoos in a competitive program. They'll be correctly appropriated at $200 and $200 for the Como Zoo and $100 and $100 for the Lake Superior Zoo. The Children's Museum, they were previously down in the competitive program in humanities, and the way the conference committee agreement reads is proposed that the Minnesota Children's Museum will receive a direct appropriation of $500,000 a year. And the other children's communities, children's museums throughout the state will be in a competitive program within the Humanities Society. The Science Museum is a direct appropriation at $500,000 each year. The Film Board was originally in the House proposal inside of the Arts Board. Now it'll be directly, flow through the Department of Administration under the chair's recommended agreement at $500,000 each year. The veterans camps were in both bills. The House had them within the Department of Administration. The Senate had it in the Department of Veterans Affairs. It'll go. The proposal is at the Senate levels through. I'm sorry. $400,000 for the Big Marine Lake camp, and the Fall Lake camp up north would be at $75,000 under the proposal. The zoos would be in a direct appropriation, Minnesota Zoo of $1.5 million each year under the proposal. And turning to the last page, page 8, you'll see the Humanities Center, and this is the program development, which was at the same level in both bodies' bills and is at this level, or the proposed level in this proposed agreement. Beyond that, we have the next three lines are the competitive grants, the Council of Color, Colors competitive grants, the Civic Education competitive grants, and the Children's Museums, which I spoke to previously. And you can see the respective amounts. The Purpose Center for the Arts is at $850,000 each year. The Department of Agriculture is going to have two components. There's going to be an art access component, which would be given to each county, at $700,000 a year, and then a competitive program for facilities and programs at likewise that same amount. And the Indian Affairs Council, the Senate had it as a direct appropriation for each of the programs. The House had that as well in the humanities competitive grant program, and now under the proposed agreement, they would be direct appropriations showing as shown on lines 304 through 307, and then the website, and the total is $104,714,000 for the 2 years.
Members, questions? Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, under the competitive grants, especially to the Humanities Center and the Department of Agriculture, is it expected that the grant writing would be done by the councils with other money than what they are receiving from the legacy fund?
Representative Murphy, I'm not understanding. You bounced from Humanities Center down to, I'm sorry, the Department of Agriculture, did you say? Could you be a little more clear on that question?
Well, that, I believe Mr. Soderbergh said that we were doing competitive grants with the Councils of Color in the to the Humanities Center, and then we're doing county fair stuff with competitive grants from the Department of Agriculture. Did we talk about how the competitive, where these small little groups are going to get the money to do the grant writing?
What's it?
They're going to have to submit, I assume, Mr. Chair, that they're going to have to write the grants.
Representative Murphy, I'm going to have the Vice Chair answer that. Just 1 second here, if you'd be so kind.
What's the question?
Repeat the question, please.
Chair Erdahl, when these small groups that are applying to the Humanities Center under competitive grants, the Councils of Color, the county fair people to the Department of Agriculture, is there going to be any help with for them to do the grant writing process, or is that, do they have to come up with that from other sources of funding?
For all of them? Excuse me, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Riddle.
We have, for example, consulted with the Humanities Center about helping with grant preparation. And the others, I think there will be grant criteria sent out. And I would assume that each of the granting entities would offer assistance in the development of the grant. Yes. And there would be, if that's part of the direct and necessary cost of administering the grant, there would be money.
That's right. That would be included. Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, is that in the language then that we're going to have reviewed next?
Yes.
Yes.
I'll wait until I have those questions answered.
Any
then.
Other questions with regards to the spreadsheet? Do it right now. Do it right now. Any further discussion?
Hold off on adopting the spreadsheet. Just hold off on adopting the spreadsheet.
OK. Okay, we're going to hold off on adopting the spreadsheet. We've got some
technical problems.
Vice Chair Erdl's got some things he wants to do here. So with that, we'll come back. We'll start now with the side-by-side of Article 1. Mr. Knopf.
And Mr. Chair, I'm not going to spend too much time on the appropriation language, especially in Article 1. As you saw, the Senate numbers on the spreadsheet, we're generally taking the provisions from the Senate bill and the because the House had money going to a special revenue fund, and this proposal does not include that. But there are a couple of places where we need to point out some House language that is a little different. There was a Native Prairie report on page R7 that's not in this proposal. On page R6 and R7, it's J on the House side. And there is on the there's also, I think it's more of the later language. We've got, there's one provision on the cold water fish habitat enhancement program. If you look on page R12, you'll see on the House side there's some additional language I think that's necessary for this one. It's 13.4 to 13.5. And so the proposal is to include the House language for the cold water fish habitat enhancement program phase 3. And then, Mr. Chair and members, I think we can go all the way through, because most of the differences between the House and Senate were fairly technical.
Representative Torkelson.
Mr. Chair, thank you. I'm sorry to interrupt, Mr. Knopf, but an issue that we didn't talk about earlier that I neglected to bring up, on page R11, there's an appropriation in the Shallow Lake Shoreland Protection section that goes through the Department of Natural Resources to the Board of Water and Soil Resources, and I did have a request from the agency that that appropriation go directly to the Bowser instead of going through the department. I don't know if that's something we want to address at this time or let it be. I don't think it's critical, but it would probably make everybody's bookkeeping a little simpler.
Mr. Knopf. Mr. Chair, I would agree it would make it a lot simpler as long as Bowser is involved. Usually a lot of these pass-through grants go through DNR, but as long as Bowser is going to be involved in an agreement with them, they could probably, we could appropriate the money to their state agency that could do it. There's probably no reason for DNR to put their hands on it at all.
So do you want a motion at this time?
Yeah. Want to go ahead?
Mr. Chair, I would move that change be made. I do not have specific language for it.
Mr. Knopf can do the language for you.
Mr. Chair, it's a fairly simple amendment. On line 9.24 of the Senate side, we delete Commissioner of Natural Resources and insert Board of Water and Soil Resources. And then we delete everything after unlimited on 9.25 and delete everything before 2 on 9.26. And that would take care of it. Would read, is to the Board of Water and Soil Resources for an agreement with Ducks Unlimited to acquire Wild Rice Lake Shoreland Habitat when it's done.
Mr. Knopf, that significantly changed the portion?
Mr. Chair, just the way it's worded right now, it would go to DNR, and then they would pass it through to Ducks Unlimited to sign an agreement with Bowser. And it's kind of, I think, what the agencies are thinking, it might make more sense just to give it to Bowser for an agreement with Ducks Unlimited.
That's my understanding, Mr. Chair, and I would make that motion.
That would be your motion. Members, any discussion? Senator
Thank
Nelson.
You, Mr. Chair. Could you just read the language then as amended so I can hear it all together?
Sure.
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, it would be $1,891,000. The first year is to the Board of Water and Soil Resources for an agreement with Ducks Unlimited to acquire Wild Rice Lake Shoreland Habitat in fee, and then I won't read the rest because it hasn't changed.
Thank you.
Okay. Any further discussion on the Torkelson Amendment? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Please continue.
And then, yeah, Mr. Chairman, if somebody else notices anything that I miss, please speak up. The other issues, I think, are really more in the language that comes up later in this article. And then it's
part of the negotiation.
As you noted on the spreadsheet, the legislative website, that's the top of page R18. The legislative website will be included. The other issue, Representative Torkelson, I know you wanted to make sure this happened, would be on 18. On the Senate side, 16.8. Instead of technical assistance, that'll be technical evaluation panel. So delete assistance, insert evaluation, and then on 16.10, delete assistance, insert evaluation, and on 16.11, delete audits and insert evaluations. Somebody might want to move that now just to make sure it's.
Representative Torkelson moves that amendment. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Same sign.
And then, Mr. Chair, there is a difference also on page R18 that I want to highlight at this point. The Senate on the availability of appropriations has carried a sentence that was included last year for LCCMR and for Outdoor Heritage. And the House has included it for all of the articles throughout now, but they've also added to it. And I just want to make sure to point out, if you look on 16.19, the sentence says money appropriated in this section must not be spent on indirect costs or other institutional overhead charges, period. Whereas the House says money appropriated in this section must not be spent on indirect costs or other institutional overhead charges. And then they add the phrase that are not directly related to and necessary for a specific appropriation. So it's a little more detailed in how the accounting would have to work. And I think the legislative auditor might have been involved in discussions with the House over that. I don't know if somebody wants to speak to that addition over in the House.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We've had a number of discussions and in committee about trying to be careful that the dedicated funding money would be kept separate of regular operations in the agencies. And I don't know. I guess I would like to hear at some point from some of the agencies, and I have some specific questions, but also, Mr. Chair, I don't know if Mr. Noble is in the audience, but I'm thinking, I don't know if the plan is if we're coming back later or if there's an opportunity based on some of the questioning, if we could have him potentially be here in committee. I don't know if he would be available or somebody could check.
Representative McNamara, the plan is to go through Article 1 and if there's no, do our amendments and then adopt each article at each time. With testimony, of course, yes.
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't have any problem adopting it with some. I would like to ask the agency some questions, but I'm just, before we sign the report, when the committee's meeting, I would like to have Mr. Noble, if he's available, on the record to get some questions answered, because a number of good questions have been asked about this, and I think that we need to get some good, clear direction for the agencies.
Mr. Chair, the reason I wanted to be clear on this now is because this will appear in all four articles, and it's my understanding that the thought is to take the House language with the stronger language here. But again, I think you may want to take some testimony. I know we've heard some concerns by people who received these appropriations.
Okay, we're going to try and contact them soon. Come back to
but, Mr. Chair, as of now, you would be adopting the House language on availability of appropriations with a stronger language.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I would leave it up to you if you want to wait till Mr. Noble to find out if he's available and just do the agency testimony then. I think it's just good to get on record of how they work with the two different groups of money and on the costing of time and such so that we have a good understanding of where we're at.
It's a big deal, though. Yeah.
Okay, we'll move on then from there.
Okay.
We're trying to contact him right now.
Mr. Chair, I just want to point out, for now, we're considering it in. And you're in the chair's proposal.
That's correct.
The co-chair's proposal.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Torkelson.
Sorry to backtrack again, but there's a very small change on page R12. Again, a request from the agency, this time from DNR. It would be on line 10.17 of the Senate language and would simply add and to the end of that line.
Mr. Knopf, can you give me some advice as to what that does to that section?
Mr. Chair, it's a little confusing to me. On 10.16 on the Senate.
10.17.
Oh, is that permanent conservation easement requirement? Mr. Chair, that would be a good addition.
Representative Torkelson has an amendment to add to page R12, line 1.7, at the end after the comma.
Yes.
Add and.
Yep.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All the same sign.
And then, Mr. Chair, we were on page R18. We're talking about the availability of appropriations. I think we can go through a little further here. There is one difference on the Senate side. The thought was taking the Senate, except for a few things. The Senate's still carrying the recipient must have timely written contact with Conservation Corps Minnesota and a copy to be filed with the Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council. So that's considered in for now. And the House was not carrying that language. It's the same language that was in the bill from last year. And then, Mr. Chair, I think we can go through. There were some technical changes on some of these that were different in the House because the House was doing it just a little bit differently.
Sure. Clear on what page again?
Well, the one I just talked about, Mr. Chair, was on page R22. Mm-hmm. 20.14 on the Senate to 20.23.
Does that need action?
Well, no, Mr. Chair. It's considered in unless somebody wants to take it out or modify it.
Hearing nothing, move on. Okay.
Mr. Chair, and then there's a technical on R26 that the Senate uses the term appropriated, and I think it's just to clarify that it's appropriated. The House on 27.14 on R26 uses dedicated, but as in conversation with Mr. Becker, we changed that on the Senate side. And then, Mr. Chair, there were some technical differences on the bottom of page R27, but the Senate language with the up to and the dollar amount is what's the interested parties are in agreement on that on the Senate side to do the up to language. And then, Mr. Chair, that's it for the riders and the appropriation parts. And now I'll go through the some of the other language that's in Article 1. The first one is that we have the Forest for the Future Conservation Easement Account. That was a DNR recommendation. The difference here is on the Senate side, on 26.6, we say 4% of the balance. The fiscal note had 4% of the balance spent each year, so this ties them to that. They can't spend the whole amount that's in there in any given year, whereas the House provides basically a statutory appropriation to the account. And so the question is whether or not you do 4% per year or just have a statutory appropriation to the account for the costs of managing those conservation easements. The cost of monitoring, record keeping, land over. Again, the Senate based its 4% on the fiscal note. And my understanding is that the Senate is in for now. And Mr. Chair, we have that Outdoor Heritage Land Management account. You didn't see that on the spreadsheet, so that's not considered in at this point in section 4 on page R29 of the House. The definition is the same for a recipient on both sides. Section 4, both sides have changed the legislative appointment terms in that section. But when we get down to page R31, there are some differences. On 28.12 on the Senate adds terms of the public members as part of the regular statutory provision for terms, and that's to ensure that if members aren't appointed, that members can continue to serve until the July 1st of that fiscal year, and that's and it was left off earlier on. So it's terms, compensation, and removal. On 28.19, the Senate deletes an approval by the Legislative Coordinating Commission. This would be similar to LCCMR, where it's upon coordination with the LCC, but it doesn't require the approval of the LCC for an appointment of staff members. The Senate on That's the end of Section 4 in the Senate and Section 6 on the House for that. The House didn't include those, the last two changes. Now, there's some differences, too, in Section 5. Both sides make technical changes on the reporting requirement. The Senate actually subsequent probably shouldn't be there in 29.2, but I'll get to the more substantive in a second here. But the substantive part is the Senate removes 28.32, that sentence, and making recommendations the Council shall consider a range of options that would best restore, protect, and enhance, and shall not adopt definitions of restore, protect, or enhance that would limit the Council from considering options that are consistent with the Constitution. The Senate eliminates that sentence. The House adds the sentence, the Council shall consider prevention measures to protect fish from aquatic invasive species consistent with the Constitution in order to protect habitat for fish. It's my understanding, again, we're looking at the Senate language in unless it's changed by the Conference Committee. That's part of the co-chair's proposal. On page R32.
So we're dropping the invasive
excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, I just want to be sure. So as we're going through, we're working off the Senate always. So if there's something that we want to ask a question about, as Mr. Knopf is going through, we're assuming we're adopting Senate all the way through unless we speak up.
Mr. Chair, yes.
Mr. Knopf, yes.
Thank you, Mr.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just trying to understand on the 28.32, in making recommendations, the Council shall consider a range of options that would best restore, protect, and enhance wetlands, prairies, forests, and habitat for fish, game, and wildlife. That part of your struck-out language, stricken, I bet.
Stricken language.
Thank you, Chair Erdahl. That part of your stricken language, I'd like to hear the why of it. The part after that I may think is okay, but that sentence I think is helpful.
Well,
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara, if you want to move to reinstate the part that you read up through wildlife on page on 28.34, you could move to reinstate that. I mean, it is.
I would
language.
move to reinstate the stricken language on 28.32 and 28.33 and the first three words and the two commas in 28.34, game, comma, and wildlife, and I guess then put a period after the word wildlife, and then the rest of the stricken language, I believe I'm okay. I think Representative Murphy may have had some thoughts. She was
Representative Murphy to the McNamara Amendment.
Mr. Chair, I don't know why proposed agreement was made to take the and shall not adopt definitions, because that was one of the major contention points last year, and I don't think that has been forgotten. And it seems to me that it wouldn't hurt anything leaving that in, so people would be reminded that we're not making definitions since it was such a hoopla for 2 years.
Representative Murphy, is that what the amendment does, leave it in?
No,
I'm sorry. Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, Representative McNamara's amendment just reinstates the first part of that.
Up to a restore, correct? Or excuse me, wildlife. Mr. Knopf, is there this language elsewhere in the amendment language, or in the bill language?
Mr. Chair, no. This is to the legislature last year told the Council that they couldn't have definitions that didn't consider those options, and when the Council in the past had used operational definitions to kind of limit the types of proposals they were going to be getting. And what this did is told them that they couldn't do that anymore.
Any further discussion? Representative McNamara.
Well, and I understand Representative Murphy's concerns, but I do believe that the language that you have stricken is duplicative, really, of what must happen. It just says don't do what's not consistent with the Constitution. Well, that's our Constitution.
It's pretty well taken care of, I think, too. To the McNamara Amendment, any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Chair.
I'm sorry, Representative Torkelson.
There is underlined language on the House side on R31, lines 32.15 and 32.16. I would like to move that that language be included.
Do you want to do AIS in this?
This is close. Hmm?
Sorry to do AIS.
There's a difference, but
that's okay.
Representative Torkelson, would that, what would exact, this would actually put the Lessard Council into doing aquatic invasive species work?
Mr. Chair, I would understand that it would allow them to consider invasive species work as long as it was consistent with the Constitution.
Mr. Knopf, could you give us a little idea as to what that would do?
Okay,
what type
okay.
of work that would do for the needed or not needed in the...
Well, Mr. Chair, it's a directive to the council to consider this. I think there has been some consideration. There's been some concern as to how it fits within the constitutional amendment. I think some people consider it in, some consider it not. I think they have kind of considered some measures, and people have brought things forward. The other option you could do is to change the shall to may on there.
I know.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I would entertain that as a friendly amendment to my amendment.
So, Mr. Chair, I think Senator Representative Torkelson is moving 32.15 to 32.16, the new language, the underlying language, on the House side with deleting shall and insert may.
Okay. Any questions? Members, understand that?
Yeah, they have shall.
Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
And Mr. Chair, I think we can move over to R32 now. And paragraph H on 29.32 to 29.35 is very technical. I won't even bother to explain it. Subsection 6 is a more, on the Senate side, is a more substantive provision. This would put the Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council on par with the LCCMR and with the legislature with regard to the open meeting law. It would say that a meeting occurs when a quorum is present and members take action on any matter. It's the same one that legislative committees are bound by and the same one that the LCCMR is bound by. So it would make that change. And then our paragraph B would not be necessary with that change.
And Mr. Members, Chair, members understand that? Okay, go ahead.
And Mr. Chair, Section 7, there are a couple of things going on there. On 30.21, the every 2 years, this was the only fund that had every 2 years for an audit. This would delete that. I actually had a conversation with Mr. Nobles about that. It would be consistent with other areas where the auditor, they certainly would try to do it every 2 years. They actually try to do annual audits as much as they can. And then also at the request of Mr. Nobles, instead of restating the Constitution, what the auditor does is make sure they're in compliance with all applicable law and the Constitution. So this kind of broadens it to rather than checking to see whether they're following the whether the legislature is following this specific constitutional mandate, it really becomes auditing to make sure that they're complying with all applicable law and the Constitution.
Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Knopf, I just wanted to make sure I heard you correctly. It was the state auditor who suggested we strike every 2 years?
Well, Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, Senator Nelson, he didn't really suggest it to me. In talking with the chair and the chair's staff, it was determined to strike the every 2 years because this seemed to be a little bit more than other areas like LCCMR and the state Parks and Trails Fund and then the Clean Water Fund. They don't necessarily, they aren't necessarily audited every 2 years. They're audited as soon as the auditor can get to them. But in discussions with the auditor, he said that's probably a good change because it could cause them staffing issues if they have to do this
every 2 years.
Yeah.
Mr. Chairman,
yeah.
You understand? Senator Nelson.
Well, I will not move to reinstate that at this point, but I do think it's important that we do have audits and we do it on a timely basis. We're dealing with good sums of money here, and I was concerned when I saw that we were striking every 2 years. So I just want that to be noted, that we need to make sure we do have those audits.
And Senator Nelson, I think what Mr. Knopf explained is that we'd be under the Heritage, Outdoor Heritage Lessard Group would be under more restrictive under this language right. than anybody else. And that was a concern of Noble's with regards to having the ability to do that, be more prescriptive. So Representative Erdl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And in consultation with Mr. Noble's and before our committee, he'd mentioned that each of the four categories he thought should be audited every other year.
And
Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, and he tries. I don't want to speak for Mr. Noble's, but they do their best. But no other fund has this every 2 years mm-hmm. restriction in statute.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. But again, I agree if he tries, and I think it will be his intention to try to do this every other year.
Mr. Chair, those are exactly the words he used to me, I think.
Everybody comfortable with that, members? Okay. Go forward.
And, Mr. Chair, then you see on page R33, Section 8, Lands in Public Domain. The Senate struck the last line or the last sentence in there, that the 15 business days prior to making a decision on lands in public domain, that they have to have a notice to the LCC. Based on the Senate provision would say that they receive notice the same time. And the LCC will be watching what the Lessard Sam's Councils and decisions that they make. And so this, instead of the 15-day provision, they would receive public notice just like everybody else for these decisions on lands in public domain. And Section 9 on the restoration evaluations, there's a technical cleanup on 31.4 that the Senate moves a couple of shells in there to May, and that's because when the money is appropriated for it, they will do it. And what this does is allow them to put together these panels and just basically the appropriation will drive what they do. And then there's also some language stricken on 31.18 to 31.20, and it's the Board of Water and Soil Resources Native Vegetation Establishment and Enhancement Guidelines were based on seed language that had been used in previous years. That language is not being used anymore, and this was tied to that. This was tied to the native seed language that had been, in fact, you'll see some repealers for parts of it in the bill. And what this does is because we're not using the Senate thought, since we're not using the seed language anymore, we took that out of the bill. We took that out of the Lessard-Sams bill. We took it out of the LCCMR bill, that we don't need this provision anymore because it was tied. Those guidelines were actually done to provide guidelines for the language that had been in previous laws.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I'm wondering, Ms. Blackburn, Are you aware of this language we're talking about here excuse me for interrupting you. On 3119 or 18 to 3120, I'm not exactly aware of what your guidelines are, but if you have some stated guidelines, they may be of value.
Blackburn, welcome.
Thank you. For the record, Julie Blackburn, Assistant Director for the Minnesota Board of Water and Soil Resources. And I'm sorry, I'm going to ask you to repeat the question again because with the door open, I could not hear.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Blackburn, on R33, Senate language strikes out 31.18 through 31.20. And I would think that would be something that we may want to still have folks use. Or are these guidelines... Should we get rid of that because of some of the other repealers we had dealing with some real narrowly crafted language about seed distance and things like that.
Ms. Blackburn.
Mr. Chair and Representative McNamara, I believe that because of the when applicable, it probably needs to come out based on the repealers before, since they aren't there. However, for all of our restorations, and I believe guidance from other agencies doing restorations, they still are going to use our guidelines. It's just not specifically outlined here that they must.
So, Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Blackburn, you're okay with striking it out?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Please continue.
And, Mr. Chair, then we can move on to page R34. And we have a house-only provision on commissioner approval. It's not in at this point unless somebody wants to move in Section 8.
Mr. Knopf, or Mr.
Representative
Chair, I'm sorry.
McNamara.
I'm trying to remember where this language came from. And if this was, is this language that one of the nonprofits brought to us? Do you remember, Representative Torkelson? Does anybody in the audience remember where this language came? Ms. Taylor or Mr. Chair?
Ms. Taylor.
Ms. Taylor?
Mr. Chair, members, the language came in on the House side from an amendment that was offered in the Legacy Division. Representative Wagenius had offered the amendment and then modified. It went through the process.
Representative McNamara.
I remember the discussion.
If you
discussion.
Want to give it a little bit of background, this was the language that the Lewis Hart Council voted to.
Somebody told us.
Yes, so is Jim Powell. So is Jim Powell.
Mr. Becker. Available? I'd like some comments with regards to this, if we could. Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, Bill Becker, Executive Director, Sard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council. This basic notion in this language has been in our session law up until our current recommendations. The council, after reviewing the effect of the language, opted to not include it this time, and then it was brought back in as Ms. Taylor described. So the council has taken a position that this language is unnecessary. The Department of Natural Resources, in administering reimbursements, has to certify that the state got the goods. That includes certifying that the easement, for example, is a valid and good easement.
Thank you. Any question? Excuse me, Representative Murphy.
Mr. Chair, I think that one of the things that make it worthwhile having in there is that it complies with the goals, the department's precision acquisition goals. And that it's reaffirming to the people of the state that the agreement meets the goals. It's a double check.
Are you, Representative Murphy, are you directing that question to
it's not a question, it's
Mr.
a statement,
just a
Mr.
statement.
Chair.
Okay. Thank you. Any further discussion on that? Okay. Please continue.
Mr. Chair, on Sections 10 and 9, the Senate has some additional language because we weren't carrying the easement provision in our bill. I think you'd want to adopt, I think we'll just, you can just consider, it's very technical, Section 9 in the bill is probably the one we should use because we have the language now within here. The Senate didn't have the account in the House language.
Mr. Chair, I'll move the House language, Section 9.
Representative McNamara moves. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, same sign.
And then, Mr. Chair, when the real property interest report, those changes were the same. That was something that came in late on both sides and were the same on those, on Sections 11 on the Senate, 10 on the House, and 12 on the Senate, 11 on the House were the same. And then, Mr. Chair, The other difference is the repealer, and it's my understanding you've already made the decision. There's a subdivision 5 that's not being repealed on the House side, but you've made a decision earlier, Bill, that subdivision 5 would not be repealed. So my understanding you would take the House repealer language.
Chair, I move the House repealer.
Representative Torkelson moves. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
And Mr. Chair, that is the end of the Article 1.
I'm sorry, Representative Torkelson. I'm sorry, McNamara.
Mr. Chair, excuse me. I do have a couple things on Section 1. I also know they're debating a bill on the House floor that I may have to run up to. Specifically, I'm wondering if we can hear from Mr. Solem or Ms. Garlett in regards to, do we have an amendment, I believe, and I'm wondering, I think it would be the appropriate time before we get out of Article 1 to pass out the amendment. And I believe if Mr. Solem and Ms. Garlett could come forward, if that's okay, Mr. Chair. I know we did adopt a spreadsheet that included the Senate numbers and deleted a House position in regards to the spreadsheet, but this is an amendment that will, I think, help set us up going forward in regards to recognizing the full cost of purchasing land in the dedicated accounts.
Mr. Chair, I think Representative McNamara, you wanted to delete Clause 4?
Mr. Knopf, I would.
Representative McNamara.
I think I would like to get testimony from the testifiers, but I could do an oral amendment. My understanding, I got a fiscal note from the DNR that lines 1.16 and 1.17, which would be number 4 there, has a fiscal note of about $92,000. If we have that, and I can give that to you, Mr. Chair, that was brought to us by the agency, and they said if number 4 was deleted, that would remove the fiscal note, and rather than spend $100,000, I guess I would like to modify my amendment by deleting those two lines. And then if Mr. Solem, excuse me.
One second, Representative. Let's get the amendment on the floor.
There's another technical one that the agency talked to me about. It's on line 1.5. Instead of consultation, they would like to say in cooperation. So it would be delete after consultation, say in cooperation with all those, the other commissioners and the groups. And so what I was thinking is Representative McNamara, is you would move this with those changes as an amendment.
Yes, I'd like.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move that or incorporate that into my amendment. And then I'm wondering, I may have an oral amendment on item 2, the rate of payments for specific classes of natural resource lands, but I think it would be after hearing from the two testifiers.
Okay.
We can bring up the testifiers now.
Yeah. Okay. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Solem.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Ken Solem, General Counsel at the Minnesota Association of Townships. And I greatly appreciate your willingness to consider this amendment. It is, I believe, Senator Ingebrigtsen, your study language. That has been discussed in other places as well. As the committee is well aware, members have heard from both Ms. Garlett and myself over the course of the session, local governments do have a great concern about the long-term impact as we take more and more lands off the rolls. And while we were unable to come up with language to fix that this session, there has been a great deal of willingness to make sure that there is a good study and good effort to deal with that. And obviously, the acquisitions that this bill will put forward is the leading cause of new land, so we do support it fully. The possible oral amendment that I had brought to Representative McNamara would be to insert two additional considerations, and that would be the adequacy of current funding for payment and alternative methods for reimbursement of reimbursing local units of government. And the rationale there is that is the intent of what the study is trying to do, is to say, what is the overall process, what is the current funding mechanism, and does it work, and are there alternatives that should be recommended? And I did provide Representative McNamara that language. I could give it to Ms. Taylor, Mr. Kanoff as well, but if the committee be willing to consider that language, we think it would help flush out the full intent and the tie-in to the impact of this particular legislation.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. And Mr. Chair, you've sat on Outdoor Heritage since its inception, and so you know this issue much better than I, but Mr. Solomon and Ms. Garlitz, you've worked hard on this issue, and we have to take this issue seriously. We've taken this $5.6 million and taken it out of the bill and put it on the bottom line here. It's a really important amendment to address a number of concerns that legislators have, and this is an important work to help get us to a point next year where we'll be better informed to deal with this. I think, if Mr. Kanoff, or I don't know if either one of you have more thoughts on that, but we need to take this serious.
Take a little more testimony from Ms. Garlitz, I think.
Sure. Yes, thank you.
Welcome to the committee.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Annalie Garlitz, and I'm with the Association of Minnesota Counties, and I don't know if I have much more to add other than what Mr. Sulem said. We've been working, counties and towns have been working in close coordination on this amendment, and Joe Matthews from the Association of Minnesota Counties has also been working on this because he's more familiar with the tax issues. So we're happy to continue this discussion. We're happy that it's occurring because counties do think that this is a very important piece that we have to start acknowledging the tails of the purchases of the land.
Thank you. Any further questions, members? And Representative McNamara, I appreciate, the willingness to work with this, I understand the concern from some of the members actually in both bodies with regards to land acquisition from not only here but throughout the constitutional amendment as well as LCCMR acquisition, and I appreciate your willingness to work and move forward with this. Those that may or may not know, we have such language in the tax bill. Was an amendment that I brought forward because of that very issue, and I've talked with both testifiers with regards to the pay in lieu of taxes payments and how they're distributed through townships and counties, and that's certainly an issue, and I appreciate the work that hopefully is going to go forward from here and come up with some kind of an agreement with regards to PILT, quite frankly. So I know that's an issue, but at the same time, I also understand the groups involved here are very limited and very strapped, if not having the ability to be able to do projects when you're talking about protecting, restoring, and enhancing, and when there's opportunities to be able to acquire pieces of land from willing sellers, and I think we've made that very clear throughout the process since I've been here, that these are willing sellers that we talk about, but I understand the concern, and I'm hopefully this will help resolve it. So, Mr. Kanoff, do you have any more testimony at all? Do you have a final verbiage on the McNamara Amendment?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, so a piece was handed to me during the discussion, and I just modified it just slightly. I think it just reads a little clearer, but it basically is what the advocates were looking for. So it would be on between 1.14 and 1.5, we're going to insert two more clauses. A clause 3 that says the adequacy of current funding for payments and the impact of additional land acquisition on the funding. And clause 4 is alternative methods of reimbursing local units of government for state natural resource lands. And then it would be semicolon and then the existing 3 would become clause 5.
Representative McNamara, does that sound like your amendment?
Mr. Chair, I would. Could I just incorporate that oral amendment into this amendment?
Yes,
that would be
good.
My wishes.
Yes. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All same sign.
Okay.
Mr. Neumeister wanted to testify. Rich, you come forward.
Keep my article. Article one.
Mr. Neumeister, we're still on Article 1, so your comments can be kept to that. Thanks.
It's right to Article 1. Co-chairs, members of the conference committee, I would like to suggest to you that you do not accept the Senate position to exclude the Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage from being under the Minnesota Open Meeting Law. It's been under the Minnesota Open Meeting Law for 2 years, and there is a very strong interest in the people of Minnesota for some accountability and to see what the Lessard Sam's Heritage Commission does. Now, let me just share with you some distinct differences. And one of the things that I think by eliminating 13D, which is the open meeting law, to cover Lessard Sam's, are some of the following. Very specific notification, particularly of special meetings. Relevant materials that should be available to the public when those meetings are held. Three, there's an enforcement mechanism where it's independent from, which is under Chapter 3.55, which is the legislature's for open meeting. So, Mr. Chairman, I can go into more detail, but I'm just trying to highlight to you, I think this is a big change away from sunshine in a commission that you thought 2 years ago was very important for the public to have its eye on. And now all of a sudden, from my perspective, because I even don't know the rules of the House and the Senate to notices, and by even being around here as decades as I've been, I know that they can change a little bit. At least in statutory law, it's very set, and it's one that has been worked very well with all kinds of commissions, groups, and even some commissions that you could say are quasi-legislative. So, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would very strongly encourage you to retain the current law as is. Thank you.
Any questions from the testifier members? Representative Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Neumeister, so you're suggesting that on page R32, we accept the House language for Section 6?
Which is nothing. In other words, don't take the Senate language.
That's what you were suggesting.
Yes. In other words, still retain being under the open meeting law 13D.
Would Mr. Becker come forward again? I'd like to have him comment on that if we could. Welcome back, Mr. Becker. Thank you,
Mr. Chair. Thank you. Bill Becker, Executive Director of the Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council. I think the context that's most important in your consideration of this amendment is that when the Lessard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council was created, it was created as a legislative council with administration out of the executive branch. There was no statute, law, other than 13D to govern the council at that time. Subsequently, the council's administration has been moved to the legislative branch, and we are fully required to follow the legislative requirements for open meetings. That's the law and fact. I think the spirit is another thing. We've had a policy of open meetings, advance notification. In fact, you can go to our website today and find every piece of paper. You can find every meeting that's scheduled, every one that's been scheduled. And I'll just say that no matter what happens here today with regard to this particular amendment, we're dedicated to informing the public of when, where, and what our meetings are all about and inviting them to come and participate. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any questions? Representative Murphy.
So, Mr. Becker, the House position on this side-by-side has not been a problem for 2 years. Am I correct?
Mr. Chair, Representative Murphy, it has been in the context of providing information. We've been required to provide it broadly as opposed to narrowly. So it does affect some information provision, but we can deal with that.
Mr. Chair, could I ask
Representative Murphy?
Could I ask someone from who put in the Senate position what problem they were trying to solve?
Yeah. Mr. Knopf.
Mr. Chair, was the Senate position, I'll explain this for the chair, but the Senate position is that it has caused some concerns because of the possibility of emailing all of the members, like a member of the Lasard Sam's Council cannot email all of the other members of the council with information. They also, if they go out to dinner, if there's more than a quorum, that causes a problem. And it's been those have been some issues for the council. And again, LCCMR is under, this would be the same as LCCMR. So the two chairs that are on LCCMR, there were certain ways you'd have to do it in that environment. Also, as a legislator, there are certain ways you can do things, and then when it comes to Lasard Sam's, it would be a different way of doing things.
So to understand this correctly then, Mr. Knopf, this is going to be what we're doing right now is similar to what we're doing for LCCMR. Is that what I understood?
Mr. Chair, yes. It was also, this is the way that the Senate actually had adopted the Lasard Sam's Council, too, in 2008. So,
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and I found out about this by accident, literally, as Mr. Chair, you and I both serve on both those bodies you just mentioned, and I was having emails. I sent an email to Mr. Becker and the other members of the Lasard Sam's Outdoor Heritage Council were copied on that email, and I got an email back from one of the members that is probably not okay per the open meeting law. So I was not able to communicate with those members via email, and it's my understanding that group never communicates via email because of the concern of that. I'm not aware of problems with LCCMR. I think in this regard of its open meeting situation, I've never been aware of it, and this would put Lasard Sam's on the same footing as LCCMR, and it's a Senate provision that I think we would be correct to adopt. I think Mr. Becker has laid out he can live with either one, but I think from a logistics standpoint, they've been very open as far as the council. So I would support the Senate language, Mr. Chair.
Excuse me, Senator Nelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It seems like Lasard Sam's, for some reason, has had higher levels of reporting and open meeting laws. And as being someone who wasn't here when this was established, I'm wondering if there's a reason for that. Why weren't these things designed so there was consistency?
Mr. Becker.
Mr. Chair, Senator, I think that it has to do with the fact that originally the Lasard Sam's was a legislative body, but it was administered by an executive branch agency. And this was a way to ensure that the executive branch agency provided information freely and openly. That's no longer the case. We're administered by LCC staff, specifically.
Senator Nelson, I can certainly tell you the same thing. I mean, this has been talked about very little. I've just never heard of any issues or any problems myself, and I've been since the beginning of sitting on the committee. So,
actually, that explanation is totally acceptable. I understand that. I just didn't know that history, and since it's administered differently now, I think it should be consistent.
Okay. I'm sorry, Senator Peterson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
the way it is now, having served on a city council previously to serving in the legislature, I have operated under that and now operating under the legislative policy, and I think that's adequate. And so I would make a motion to accept Article 1 as amended.
Okay, Senator Peterson moves Article 1 as amended. Any further discussion?
Total?
Excuse me?
Mr. Chair, so we're talking about all of Article 1?
Yes. Is there any further issues or discussion? Representative McNamara.
I've got one. I'm sorry. I was not paying attention. Thank you, Representative Murphy. I moved on R33. I think I jumped the gun down at the bottom when Ms. Blackburn came forward. My understanding after talking with both Bowser and the DNR, this language is important that I asked in the Senate that had was stricken in on R33 lines 3118 through 3120. I would like to put those back if we could, Mr. Chair.
Representative McNamara, I believe the testimony was that it was okay stricken. Am I wrong?
It was then, Mr. Chair, but I think it's changed in the last few minutes.
Well,
we could hear from them again if you want, or
yes, I'd like
and
to
or also from the DNR.
Things do change quickly.
Which one would like to go first? Mr. Meyer, welcome.
Mr. Chairman, members, for the record, Bob Meyer, Department of Natural Resources. And I apologize, I was out of the room when this discussion came up. Representative Murphy was right. This language was part of an agreement that was negotiated at quite some length about this time last session. And Ms. Blackburn was not involved in those discussions. It was the DNR and John Jaschke directly with the leadership in both the House and Senate. And these words are part of that agreement, and it's our desire to keep them in there. I apologize. Ms. Blackburn had no idea of those discussions that took place or the importance that this means to that part of the agreement.
Representative McNamara, I'm sorry.
No.
Okay. I guess my comment is, why have we not heard about it until now, I guess?
Mr. Chair, members, we've incorporated these guidelines into the work that we're doing right now, and Bowser uses them on a day-to-day basis. So this is just comfort language to make sure that we have some published standards that we're using to compare these restoration evaluations to. I can show you, we can get you a copy of what this is. It's actually on the Bowser website. But it's a standard that I think people know, understand, and use on a day-to-day basis.
Mr. Chair, if I could just add to that. Because it is so, because it is how we do our business, it's on our website, it's how we make everybody do our easements or restorations whenever we're using them. I was under the assumption that it was not necessary. However, I have learned since then that it is part of an agreement that's been understood, and therefore it doesn't actually change, you know, very much what we go through when we do our business, but it's important that it remains in.
Very important not to assume things are in or out around here. Isn't that true?
Well, Mr. Chair, I just, you know, if you look at the language prior to that, the question is whether you need it or not. It says the coordinator shall secure the restoration plans for the project specified and direct the technical evaluation panel to evaluate the restorations relative to the law, current science, and the stated goals and standards of the restoration plan. So if the native vegetation standards were used in the restoration plan, then they're already included.
Mr. Chair,
Mr. Meyer.
Well, Mr. Knopf is correct. I just know that these words would help this bill off of the floor of both bodies, probably.
Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chair, I would move to put the stricken language back in instead of adopting the Senate provision. It's my understanding that I will have a long, long, long time on the House floor if I don't put this language back in.
You would, it's okay. Senator Peterson, would you accept that into your amendment?
Yes, I would.
Or excuse me, your motion.
Your motion, yep.
You should probably amend it first. Mr. Chair, I think Representative McNamara may want to just move that as an amendment, make sure it officially is in the article.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move to reinstate the stricken language from R33 lines 31.18 to 31.20.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Mr. Chair, to Article 1.
Representative McNamara.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just wondering, I understand we're not having luck getting a hold of Mr. Nobles in regards to testimony.
That's right.
And it is not only in regards to Article 1. It's in regards to all the articles. But at some point, I do know that the Commissioner of the DNR is here now. We are on Article 1, and I don't know when it would be appropriate to take testimony. But I do have some questions I'd like to ask in regards to the supplement supplant issue and accounting for overhead. If you'd rather wait, that doesn't matter to me, Mr. Chair.
Before adopting Senator Peterson's motion, the DNR come forward, please. Welcome, Commissioner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Tom Landwehr. I'm the Commissioner of the Department of Natural Resources, and I'm also asking my Deputy Commissioner, Dave Shadd, to join me here today since he knows much more of the detail than I do.
Deputy Commissioner, welcome.
Do you want to get everybody on the right page? Mr.
Chairman.
Excuse me. Let's everybody get to the right page here.
Mr. Chair, I think everybody, since Representative McNamara has talked about Mr. Nobles, and I think people should look at the language. It's on page R18. If you look on the House side, it's 1911 to 1912. And it's a language that says that are not directly related to and necessary for a specific appropriation. It's much stronger language than that. Excuse me. It's on line 1911 to 1912. And starts with the word that. That the House has more restrictive language. You adopted the House language on that for now. And so the question, I think people should be focused on that at this point.
Welcome again.
Mr. Chairman, for the record, Dave Shadd, Deputy Commissioner, DNR, and we do support the House language here. It does provide, I think, clarity regarding some of these additional costs that are accrued when agencies implement these dollars. Just a very basic example, if we hire a staff person to implement a project with this funding, we need to set them up with a computer, we need to process their payroll. There are costs that are necessary to hire that position and provide the support for that position so that they can do that work. And we've got a process in place within our agency to actually document those costs and tie them back directly to the work that's getting done. So the words necessary for and directly related to help provide us guidance and the auditors guidance on the appropriateness of those expenditures.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair, and Deputy Commissioner. That's helpful. Thank you. And then I'd like to extend it a little farther. You talked about somebody that's hired specifically probably to work on that. Well, how about when you or Commissioner Landwehr are spending time working on legacy projects specifically? Maybe you are going to a meeting or going in my small business, everybody, including my business partner and I, job-costed our time to projects so we could accurately reflect and know what is the real cost of a job, how do we come out on it. And so we filled out time cards and told ourselves and our staff where we were at and where our projects were, or if we were working on projects, or if it was overhead administration, whatever we were. Do you do that? And I do hope that we'll get the auditor's office here before we sign the conference committee report. Do you do that currently with folks in the administration like yourself?
Mr. Shadd.
Mr. Chairman, Representative McNamara. if I was to get on a tractor and help with the grass seeding, and I'd love to do that, I would. But you know, we would not charge those sorts of costs under this language. It would be costs in our support service bureaus, and it would be costs directly related to the positions or to the activities. My salary, my time is fully funded, fully accounted for. Certainly you could make the case that some portion of my time is used in support of getting these dollars in the ground, but we think making that tie based on this directly related to and necessary for is a stretch. But the costs that we do assess under this language, we think we can make a very strong case. Again, it's things like functions in our HR office to support hiring and payroll and so forth. Activities in our Office of Management and Budget to help write grants or to process payments. It's that sort of thing. So these are costs that are more directly related to these projects than say my time would be.
Chair Erdahl.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just to give the comment that in our conversations with Mr. Nobles, he did say that it's important to have directly related necessary costs, but if there were questions about them, is this directly related, is this necessary to this project, that his office would be open to answering those questions upon contact.
Is that a question? I'm sorry.
That was a comment.
Representative McNamara.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair and Deputy Commissioner. I appreciate your answer, and I'm going to grill Mr. Noble when he comes in. But if you spent a half an hour negotiating a RIM easement purchase or the logistics of working on specifically a legacy issue, why would we say that somebody else is supposed to pay for that legacy part? I think we do not want you to supplant and charge administration for stuff that is administration. But if you're specifically working on, I don't know how you draw the line and say, well, if you're this far up the ladder, anything you do would never be legacy. Commissioner Landwehr has to have enough staff to deal with all this extra work that we're putting on you with legacy. That work is not only on the ground, but it's in the administration. You're going to have to go out and get out in the field once in a while and visit these places, and that's appropriate that the costs directly involved with that be charged back, I believe. And I guess my question isn't for you. You're trying to be more careful because everybody's scared of the OLA. Well, that's good. He's our ally. We want you to be careful, but I don't want you to be over careful to where you're not being fair to whoever else is paying those bills. And so I guess that's my point, and when it'd be foolish to keep going on.
Mr. Chairman, can I please make a comment? Members of the committee, I appreciate the line of questioning here, Representative McNamara. One of the big issues that we've got, and I've seen this from the nonprofit world as well as sitting at DNR, is how to handle costs which are not somebody sitting on a tractor but are truly related to the implementation of a grant. You know, we have, as Dave mentioned, we have payroll staff. It may not be a lot of time, but we have a payroll person that has to handle payroll for a hired individual. We have all kinds of grant and contracting individuals that have to work on not just the Outdoor Heritage Fund grant, but any grants that are sub-grants as a result of that for planting or purchasing or anything like that. It has been a real struggle for all of the end recipients of funding to capture some of those expenses, which are not a quote-unquote direct expense, but rather indirect, but an actual expense. They are increases in expenses that we have as a result of doing this work. And we have come to some agreements, both with the LCCMR and the LSOIC, on the types of things that that we can ask funding for, so we can identify a portion of some of those costs, but we're clearly not identifying all costs. And to your point, Representative McNamara, we don't cost code. We identify in the budgets who is allowed to cost code to those projects. We will have three or four or five people on any individual project that can code their time specifically to that project. But if Dave or I or one of our regional directors, you know, looks at that project, talks with somebody about that project, we don't typically cost code to those types of things. So there are a number of costs that are not being captured, and you're absolutely correct. Somebody is paying for those. You know, the way that the federal government handles this is they come up with what they call an indirect cost recovery rate, and it's an approved rate by the Department of Interior in some cases that they use. They go back through past year's records of expenses, and they say, okay, well, it looks like when you spend a dollar on a project, you spent 23 cents for indirect costs that don't get covered. You know, the occupancy in a building, for instance, you know, the depreciation on equipment and so on. And it's an approved rate, approved by the federal agency. I think at some point we're going to have a very serious discussion about how we get to that same equivalency here in the state, because I know the NGOs are suffering in the same way, and the agencies are doing it, and to your point, paying for it with other dollars.
Representative McNamara.
Well, and Mr. Chair, if you take Bowser, Bowser's budget from Legacy is twice as big, if I'm not mistaken, depending on if it's Governor Dayton or the House or Senate budget. There's a little different percentage, but if I remember right, in this bill, we're going to be coming up farther down the way, there's $50 million for Bowser. Bowser's like a $25 million general fund agency. So if we're saying they're all their, I'm not going to use the word bureaucracy, all their people up on top are being funded out of that small part, but two-thirds of the work is something else. We just have to get consistent here, because that doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I think the intent is not, we need to, Commissioner, you got a good idea, but I just want to make sure we're on the record so these agencies can go forward in a positive way.
Any further questions from the commission?
Mr. Chairman,
Commissioner,
members of the committee, if I could just make one more comment in response to that line. When we look at the expenses associated with funding, there typically are not indirect expenses related to land interest. So, for instance, if we're buying $1 million worth of land, we don't have the same costs as if we were paying $1 million for salaries. When you pay $1 million for salaries, there are all kinds of indirect costs associated with that. So if the allocation to an agency is for easements or for fee title in land, that portion of the funding typically does not require as much support as salaries or contracts would.
Members, any other questions from the commissioners? Ms. Blackburn?
Mr. Chair and members, as far as the you know, the question about indirect and being directly tied to, we certainly understand and support the idea that the funds should pay for themselves. I think for Bowser, it gets down to the question of the law of diminishing returns as far as the amount of detail we can provide without using just an extensive amount of data collection. In my role at the Board of Water and Soil Resources, I'm in charge of all policies for grants, all policies for easements. And when I have one of my staff, I have an open door policy. When I have one of my staff members walk in my office and say, Julie, here, we need to take a look at what's happening with our grants policy. We have general fund grants. We have grants that goes out for bonding. We have grants that go out to SWCDs for our RIM program. But we have uniform policies. And all of a sudden, I'm spending an hour or two sitting down with my staff. How do I account for my time? Should I divvy up that conversation into four different pots? It's an overall policy for our agency, and that's my role as the assistant director. And so we can get very detailed about that, but like I said, I think there's a law of diminishing returns where the amount of time I'm needing to spend to carve up that time when it's agency-wide for all of our programs becomes extraordinarily difficult. And we face the same kind of things with even, looking at our overhead for our IT servers. We've been told that we can't If it's been paid for before, it can't be charged to this. Well, you know, should we go and get separate servers and separate you know, systems just to make sure that we are accounting for them separately? So again, we just think maybe there's a simpler way to do this. We do think the funds should pay for the activity of those funds. We believe that that's the way that it can go. It needs to go, but it becomes very difficult, I think particularly at our level, trying to think about how we separate what we do in clean water from bonding, from outdoor heritage, because our programs and policies are the same.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I just think in light of the testimony we've heard that it's very important that the legislative auditor come before us sometime and that we have reached some kind of an understanding as to how these costs are accounted for.
Yes, Representative Torkelson, I certainly, it's a point well taken here, but the legislative auditor is not here. He has never brought these issues forward here, so we do have to move on here. Any further questions from the testifiers? Okay, thank you very much.
Mr. Chairman.
To Senator Peterson's motion to adopt Article 1. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Murphy.
I understand Mr. Neumeister wants to respond to what Mr. Becker said.
Mr. Neumeister.
Mr. Chairman, members of the conference committee, I think it's important. Some of the things that he, Mr. Becker, indicated is that it's been working well. One of the things under the current law, but one of the things I think it's important to articulate is I wasn't clear of the reasoning other than some emails and then what Mr. Knopf said, and secondly, that when people are sent things on email, that it could be considered an open meeting law or a possible violation. The thing about that I wanted to try and share with you is that if you go under the way, and he talks about is the spirit, he talks about the spirit of openness when you get away from the open meeting law under the legislative law. If you don't have some requirements in law, that spirit that Mr. Becker articulated can be different anytime, particularly if an issue or a point of view or whatever may come up and they may not want to be in the spirit of the open meeting law. At least legislatively, in terms of being under current law, it's there. And Mr. Chairman, my last comment. When this happened, I was just completely surprised. It's the legislature's choice. But what it came down to me, and it was articulated by a person who's here and is on the Heritage Lessard Sam's Council, and it runs through the gamut a little bit from what Mr. Becker and what Mr. McNamara indicated. But the law is just a pain in the... And that was a quote from Mr. Cox himself. He can refer to that comment or whatever.
Has there been trouble with the LCCMR the way that's been run?
Mr. Chairman, I'll be direct with you.
Please.
To me, the LCMR is a different kind of matter than...
My question is, has there been problems there?
Mr. Chairman, I don't know because it's not one, but I am aware in the press there have been some things, but it's not...
Mr. Meister, has there been problems with the Lessard Outdoor Sam's Council? Has there been any problems?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'll just turn that... One of the reasons why is because it's under the open meeting law. And when there have been issues of conflicts of interest, or one of the things that when people ask for information, they get it. And sometimes there have been some, well, we don't want to give this information out, or we don't want to know how we came to this conclusion. I think it's very important for the public to know how what people feel on decisions and how they come and vote and how they come to the conclusion to their votes on the Lessard Sam's Council. So, Mr. Chairman, I just wanted to share because you guys, folks, make the decision. At least I'm just citizen who just tries to get another side of the coin.
And we certainly appreciate the input, Rich, as we always do. Any further discussion with regards to Article 1?
Mr. Chair.
Representative McNamara. Murphy.
Mr. Chair, if we adopt this at this time, does that mean we can't go back at a later time?
No, it doesn't mean that, no.
Thank you.
Senator Peterson renews his motion to adopt Article 1 as amended. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign.
Aye.
Thank you. Article 2.
Mr. Chair, you can move on to
the microphone in front of me. Mr. Chair, moving on to the clean water article, there are some technical differences. I think here we're going to be working off of the Senate's on the left side, and it's easier to deal with the Senate side because it hasn't been broken apart. So what I'm going to talk from is the Senate side, but there are some provisions I think that you'll be looking at adopting from the House provisions. There's a technical on R39 where the Senate actually lists the statute that the low-interest loans are under, the ag BMP loans on 36.5 to 36.7. And then there also on 36.16, the Senate uses practices and more precise information, and you don't find that on the House side, the more precise information on non-point contribution to impaired waters. And then also on the House side, 39.14, that have been publicly funded. The Senate's database is for all research, and the House is only, the database is only related to those that have been public, have been funded publicly. And so I don't know, Mr. Chair, I think the Senate's carrying the language from 2 years ago, and the House changed that.
Representative Torkelson?
I was going to do something else, actually.
Oh, okay, Mr. Chair. I just wasn't sure if on 39.14, why the House, the database is only for water-related research activities that are publicly funded.
I think we're actually, thank you, Mr. Chair. I think we're actually fine with the Senate language, I believe.
Mr. Chair, again, we'll just, the default is the Senate language unless it's noticed that the language is taken from the House side. Because most of it, Mr. Chair, is the same, so.
Representative Torkelson.
Mr. Chair, there is a dollar amount change here in this section. Should we do that at this time?
Well, Mr. Chair,
we don't need to do
a dollar amount
since
because those are in
the
spreadsheet.
In the spreadsheet,
yes.
We do not need to do that. Okay.
Representative Torkelson.
The other change that we talked about is we have a number of these are listed as available until spent, and I believe we talked about a date certain on those. Should we do that now?
You know, Mr. Chair, that would probably be a good idea to do that now.
I believe that was a Senate 2014.
Well, Mr. Chair, on a lot of the provisions, we were at 2014, but I think we copied the House on this one and went until spent. If you want to back off to, I know that the people who track funds and accounts don't like available until spent because then money can be sitting out there for 10 or 20 years. And they usually prefer to have a timeline in there and make people come back. And if they're going to, and we did talk about 2014. And I'm wondering if you wanted to make it's up to you, but if you wanted to make a motion to do 2014 in all places instead of spent.
Mr. Chair, I would make that motion that we make that change, adding until 2014, until available, till spent. I'd also like to add that same language on line 36.30 on the Senate side.
And
Mr. Torkelson, what line?
36.30 on the Senate side. R39.
And Mr. Chair, I think there would be a number of places. Oh, you want to add it after 36.30, yes.
Mm-hmm.
The staff will have note of this, and I don't think we need to deal with all the details. Just make sure you let us know where you want it.
I'm comfortable with that, Mr. Chair.
All right. Is that your amendment?
That is my amendment.
Representative Murphy.
Representative Torkelson. So you're saying that it's until spent or 2014?
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Murphy, no. We would replace until spent with until 2014.
Other questions?
So,
Representative Murphy?
So, Mr. Chair, they have to have spent it, or if there's anything else in 2014, then they have to come and say why not, or they have to stop their project.
Representative Torkelson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I will, the understanding in my mind would be that if they still have unspent funds from these categories, they would come back to us and ask for another extension, and we would decide whether or not that extension would be necessary. These are generally works, you know, already extending time frame.
Okay. Any further comments? Okay. Those in favor of the amendment, signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Carried.
And then, Mr. Chair and members, we can move on to page R40 if there's no other issues on that. There's a slight technical difference, but it's not a big deal on R40. Otherwise, the language is the same as I understand it. Same with R41. There's a small technical difference on the bottom of R41. House uses funds, Senate uses money, but I don't think there's nothing of substance there. Same with R42. I don't see any changes. Now, as I understand it, the co-chair's plan or whatever or proposal is to not include on the Senate side on page R43, not to include 39.27 to 39.31. That will be handled, you'll see later, in a House provision that amends the law from 2 years ago. And Mr. Chair, and to my understanding, the House didn't have the rider on the SSTS. As we went through the spreadsheet, that was noted that the House didn't have. That's why you see 40.1 to 40.10 on the Senate side. You don't see language on the House side, but you will be adopting that rider. I mean, that's in the Senate language, and it there was money in the spreadsheet for this program. And again, it's just more of a technical on the rest of the page. There's really nothing of any substance on the rest of the page. And then, Mr. Chair and members, on R44, I don't see any changes there. On R45, I think that the thought was to adopt the House language on paragraph H. Apparently, there's an issue on 44.14 on the House side to 44.20. That sentence in there about conducted in the Minnesota Geospatial Information Office. And receiving up to 2.5% of the appropriation. So my understanding that you would that the agreement was to adopt the House language there.
Yes.
And then, Mr. Chair and members, the rest of this are technical, and we're only picking up riders. There's an extra rider on the Senate side, but I don't think there's any money for that now on 42.18 to 42.21. That'll be driven by the spreadsheet. There aren't any issues of real substance there. On 44... On page R47, on 44.7 to 44.9, the Senate added some language on the drainage work group, letting people know where it's created. That I just wanted to point out that difference. Nothing on page R48. On page R49, we have the issue on 45.30 to 45.31 to delete assistance, insert evaluation, and delete audits, and insert evaluation. So you have evaluation. So it's a technical evaluation panel for up to 10 restoration evaluations.
Mr. Chair, I would move that change.
Representative Torkelson moves the change. Discussion? Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried.
Mr. Chair, again, on R49, on 4612, you can see that the Senate uses the June 30th, 14, and the House had available till spent. We're using the Senate language of June 30th, 2014. And then nothing else on the bottom of page R49. Top of page R50 is the same until we get to the legislature. It's my understanding, according to the spreadsheet, there is no money for the Legislative Coordinating Commission for the administrative expenses of the Clean Water Council. So that part is not being adopted, but that was in the spreadsheet. Same with the Department of Administration money there. That was not in the spreadsheet, so that's not being adopted.
R50.
And then on page R51, The carry forwards, Mr. Mueller went through those on the spreadsheet on the bottom of page R51 and the top of page R52. It's my understanding that the public official definition is included, because again, it's on the Senate side. The only issue is on page R53 on 49.32 that you're using the current council, so that statute should read 114D.30 instead of 0.31. Would be the proper cross reference to the existing Clean Water Council.
Members, any question on that?
This would, Mr. Chairman, just explain to members who may be familiar with this. This is a public official definition. You can see that if you look right above the Lessard, the citizen members of the Lessard SAMs are also public officials, and also the citizen members of the LCCMR. You can see up on line 49.25. This would add the citizen members of the Clean Water Council, which means they have to declare their economic interests the same as legislators and staff from our office. And also,
excuse me, Representative McFarland.
Thank you,
Mr. Chair. I'm wondering, do those members get citizen members get paid?
Mr. Chair, Representative McFarland. Yes, we will see that a little bit later. There's actually a statutory for council members or for these advisory committees. It's $55 a day plus expenses for serving. They get a per diem.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I have a bill that it's not going through this year because I didn't pursue it, but we've had trouble with water management organizations and watershed districts and conservation districts where they were added on as public officials in previous statute, and campaign finance had not been advised of that, and I don't know if they're here today. That's an issue. We did have some boards across the state dissolve because people did not want to fill out the economic statement if they weren't getting any compensation, or I just bring this up as an issue.
And Mr. Chair and Representative McFarland, you can actually see that when that was added, or not when, but where it was added on 49.26 to 49.27 on the existing law. And it has been a policy, though, when these councils or groups that are recommending appropriations to the legislature for specific sources of money, that there's been their citizens sitting on those, that they should be public officials, because that makes them subject to the gift ban and the economic interest reporting.
Representative McFarland.
Mr. Chair, in the case of water management organizations, many of those are appointed. They're city council people that already do have conflict of interest filed in their own cities, and then this was a big step to go to have to file and with the state. I just bring it forward as an issue. We can't resolve it right now, but it is an issue.
Mr. Chair and Representative McFarland, that is probably an issue to look at for that, but it has not been a problem for Lessard SAMs or for the LCCMR.
Any further questions about that? Please proceed.
And Mr. Chair and members, on the bottom of page R53, we've got the legislative findings and purpose. That's the same. We're the same on R54. R55, again, if somebody notices something that I missed, I'd be fine. And R56, we're the same up through 53.21. And then you see the differences on the Clean Water Council. But it's my understanding that the chair's proposal is to adopt the House version of the Clean Water Council, leaving the current council in place, but adding four non-voting legislative members to the council, and then also making some minor changes in that section. And then so it would be basically you'd look at House language all the way through R58, and R59 would be House language. None of the Senate language would be adopted. And then also on R60, the Senate, where you see the Senate blank, that would be part of the proposal, is to include the House language there. Also, you might as well look at House language through R19. And now here, I think, you have the Senate provision with the same thing that Representative McNamara, because there's three places where this is put in. So I think it would be a proper motion for somebody to move to include. We are including Section 21 in the chair's proposal, but for somebody to move to reinstate the stricken language on 57.12 to 57.14, that would match with what Representative McNamara moved earlier.
Representative Torkelson moves that. Any further questions? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Both same sign.
Okay. And then, Mr. Chair, it's my understanding that that for the beneficial use grants, we take the House Section 20 for that. So basically the bottom page, R62, all the way through the end of R60, or R61, all the way through the end of R62. We use the House language on that. The major difference is they were removing the cap on the grants, the $500,000 cap. That actually was kind of confusing for people. They also have this effective date the day following enactment. And then also Section 21, I mentioned that earlier, where the House amends the law from 2009 and amended in 2010. And you'll see the change at R65. It's my understanding that the proposal is to do it the way the House is, where you're allowing an existing appropriation to be used for this based on the new language in the statute. But the only change would be on 60.28 to read, instead of spent, it would be June 30th, 2014.
Everybody understand that? Excuse me, June 30th?
June 30th, 2014.
Okay.
And then, Mr. Chair, you've got a number of pages that are just existing law that we're going through. We can go all the way up to, and then we also talked about taking the rest of the House language on page R68 and R69. It includes the House corrected a mistake that was made last year in the conference report. And then also the civic education was the same, the civic engagement. But we're taking the House language and availability of appropriations. And this was part of the discussion with Representative McNamara and the agencies earlier. This is where the same language is carried. You'll see on 37.23, the Senate had the first sentence, but on 37.23, money in this article must not be spent on indirect costs or other institutional overcharges that are not directly related to and necessary for a specific appropriation. And then also there's some language on how to handle when the appropriations have not been spent by the end of the fiscal year and the carry forwards and that. It basically makes them all available till 2014. We're trying to be consistent in the 2014. That would give them a chance if at the end of the biennium they still have another year beyond that to come back to the legislature.
Mr. Knopf, I have a question for clarity there then. So money not expended would actually go to the bottom line. Is it? Everybody understands that? Yeah,
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Knopf.
That's exactly right. If they don't come back to the legislature to ask for an extension or don't spend all the money, then it falls back into the fund, into the Clean Water Fund in this case.
Any questions on that, members?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator.
Mr. Chairman, Senator relative Cole. To that, obviously the Lassard-Sams is a one-year appropriation.
That's correct.
Is this language carried in the other articles?
Yes.
Three and four?
Mr. Chair, it's my understanding that the House has this in both three and four.
Okay, I'll take a look for it.
And then, Mr.
Please
Chair,
proceed.
And members, also on the repealer on the page, on page top page R70, we take the House because, again, the Senate was creating a new council and was repealing the existing council, so we take the House repealer. And, Mr. Chair, that brings us to the end of the Clean Water article.
Members, that's Article 2. Any discussion on Article 2?
Sir.
Hearing none?
Testimony.
Oh, I'm sorry. Testimony. Any testimony? Anybody would like to testify about Article number 2 before we move forward? Blackburn, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. As far as the availability of funds with the end date of 2014, June 30th, 2014, on the majority of these, because we are following the Office of Grants Management policy, we have to withhold a certain amount of their funds until the completion of the grant agreement. Sometimes the grant agreements run for several years. It might be beyond this, but yet we might owe anywhere from 10 to 50% of the funds still based on the completion of their grant and the obligations. So if you take that from us and yet we are required to have that in order to pay the grantee for what they've done, we're in a real bind.
Mr. Chairman, Greta Gauthier, Department of Agriculture.
Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The Department of Agriculture would have similar concerns. Many of our contracts are let for four growing seasons, and there is also the component of not paying all the money up front but waiting until completion of whatever the grant was for. So we would run into a similar problem with the limit of 2014, Mr. Chairman. And I'm assuming it's June 30th, 2014, across the board, Mr. Chairman.
I would ask you, I would ask both of you, is this something different then than what you've been dealing with over the past?
No. Mr. Chair and committee members, as far as what we've done in the past, the Office of Grants Management and their policies were just adopted by our board. That's a relatively new office and relatively new policies. And so now we are required to withhold until completion of the grant agreement. And so it is fairly new as far as how we're operating at Bowser. And in the past, under the Clean Water Legacy Act, we did have available until spent. In the in our current appropriations, we have an end date, which we're, you know, quite frankly, a little concerned about how we're going to make that work for some of those grants that we have extensions on.
Mr. Chairman, I can find out for you. My understanding is we've been doing this. We've been letting grants for 3 to 4 growing seasons fairly regularly. However, if you... So that the 2014 would not give us 4 growing seasons in order to see the results of the research and then get the final report before we pay all of the money to the grant recipient.
Yeah. Any further discussion, Representative Torkelson?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To the testifiers, if we, instead of 2014, went to 2016, would that address your issues? Mr. Chair, I'd make that motion that where we have made these changes to use the year 2014, that we instead use the year 2016.
Representative Torkelson moves that amendment. Does everyone understand that amendment? Any further discussion? My discussion would be what have we done in the past?
Well, Mr. Chair, actually, we've generally been 2 to 3 year grant appropriations in the past, but there were a flurry of extensions this last few years. It's been the policy generally to limit it a little bit more and then give the extensions, but it's really up to the members how they want to deal with it.
Any further discussion on the Torkelson amendment? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same sign.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Any further discussion on Article 2?
Mr. Chair, I'd move the adoption of Article 2 as amended.
Representative Torkelson moves Article 2 to adopt as amended. Oh, I'm sorry. Throw something at me, Mr. Appenstein. I'm sorry. I apologize.
Not in your life, Mr. Chairman.
Before the motion.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much.
Just welcome.
Mr. Chairman, just very quickly, this goes to the appropriation to the Cowles Center for Performing Arts and Dance. We just regret that appropriation was not provided, and more significantly so because of the unanimous vote in the Finance Committee in the Senate favoring that. But just real quickly, I was kind of surprised in particular at the two agencies that took issue with this, Bowser and the PCA. This was money that was appropriated, Mr. Chairman, to the Department of Administration to go over to the Cowles Center. And both of the agencies took issue with the use of the funds and the directive that it was going through. I just wanted to suggest that it's not money that was going to them. It was money that was going over to the Department of Administration. And in particular, PCA said that this was money that was going to be used for construction costs, inappropriately for construction costs that were unrelated to the well. I recall our discussions were specifically about costs related to the well. So I just want to make those 2 points. And with regard to setting dangerous precedents, which was part of the challenge laid out here, I guess precedent setting is something that the legislature does on regular occasion. But we appreciate your consideration, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee, and hopefully we can find a way to help these folks someplace else along the line.
Thank you, Mr. Appetz. Any discussion?
Mr. Chair, could I just?
I'm sorry. Ask Mr. Kudelka. Oh, could somebody from the agency come up? Mm-hmm. Mr. Kudelka, with regards to the letter. Go ahead. Thank you, Ms. Blackburn. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair and committee members, as far as the precedent setting, and we do understand that this money wasn't going to Bowser, wasn't being taken away from Bowser. However, it's always been our policy to never do after-the-fact reimbursement, and I am very nervous about the precedent that it does set for what kind of opening that door to retroactive funding requests that the legislature will get in the future. Well sealing is a very typical thing on many, many construction projects, and so I would fear that you would have a number of other requests coming forward. And I would also fear, you know, all of the other projects, whether it was a feedlot done last year or 10 years ago, people that realize that there's money now in the Clean Water Fund that they would want to go back and have their projects funded. We do have the money available for competitively that's distributed far and wide, and most people are aware of that. And I think the precedent setting is a very major component for the legislature to think about.
Members, any questions for Ms. Blackburn? Mr. Kudelka.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and committee members. For the record, Kirk Kudelka from the Minnesota Pollution Control Agency. I think I'll just join Ms. Blackburn on her comments there. Our concern is the precedent setting. Will other industries in that come forward to ask for their projects to be funded after the fact? And that's our discussion in our letter. It was also mentioned the reimbursement for loss of time due to construction delays. And we were just referencing in the flyer handed out by the organization on the legacy funds and their mention of cost owing to delay for well mitigation and debris removal. It's just something we picked up from their fact sheet. And if we misstated that, we apologize.
Any questions from the testifiers? Thank you. Any further testimony with regards to Article 2?
I just want to get a clarification.
Seeing none, Mr. Knopf, you need a clarification.
Mr. Chair, I just want to get a clarification of Representative Torkelson's motion before. The motion is where the House or the Senate has either until spent or until 2014, that all of those would be moved to 2016. But the regular ones are ones that were not in that category. The general one is not going to be changed. It's only where we've made a special allowance for specific projects or types of things.
Representative Torkelson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, Mr. Knopf. That is my understanding of my motion.
Okay. Any further questions on Article 2? Any further testimony? Hearing none.
Mr. Chair, I renew my motion.
Representative Torkelson moves that we accept Article 2. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Hey, members, I'm going to have to call a recess for about 45 minutes minimum, possibly an hour. But we'll recess at this point for the call of chair.
So we leave our stuff here?
Yeah.
Is the room?